drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. From films like Jaws to the media reports of attacks on our beaches, sharks tend to be a source of fear. But for Valerie Taylor, they've been a wonderful part of her life. Valerie has swum with sharks all over the world. She's captured remarkable footage and led conservation efforts to get us to rethink our relationship with these animals. All this week, as part of the ABC's Know My Name campaign, we're celebrating the female Australian artists that should be household names. And who better to start with than Valerie? She's the focus of a recent film, Valerie Taylor, Playing with Sharks. And Valerie joins me alongside the director, Sally Aitken, and producer, Bettina Dalton. Welcome to all of you.
Oh, we were happy to be here.
Valerie, I want you to go back to the very beginning. What drew you to the ocean in the first place?
I think the first thing I saw that made me want to know more about the ocean was a piece of kelp going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. I was fascinated, and I'm still fascinated. I've had a wonderful life in the ocean. Every time I put on a face mask and looked around, I'd see new things. And I'd see new things right now. If I went into the harbour, for instance, there'd be something new. It's a never-ending world of surprise and enjoyment.
You and your husband, Ron, were both champion spearfishers. What made you decide to set that aside and pick up a camera instead?
We were in the Australian Spearfishing Championships. We'd both won. It was Maroochydore. Ron was looking at all the dead fish, hundreds and hundreds of dead fish lined up to be weighed in. And he said, I'm not doing this anymore. And I said, I'm not either. It just looks so awful. And so we walked away. We walked away at the head of the game, at the top of the tree.
What made you want to jump in the water with a shark? Because when there's a shark in the water, that's not the response most people have.
Ah, yes, but most people are not trying to make a living out of underwater photography. And right back in the early days, very early days, there was a company called Movietone News, and they had little theaterettes all around the world in the major cities. And they would show the news of the day. You could go in for sixpence. And they discovered that if they bought Ron's footage of sharks, they could blow it up to 25 millimeter and put it in their theaterettes. Ron found out that the money they paid was far superior to what he even earned in a week as a fitter and turner or whatever he was doing, I don't know. And so we went out looking for sharks. They weren't interested in minnows or coral polyps or mollusks. Had to be big and dangerous. And if I could sort of pop into the middle of it all wearing a bikini, it always sold. So it was a big moneymaker.
Bettina, you worked with Valerie back in 2000 on another project. Was that where the idea for this film first began?
No, unfortunately. It took me a while to arrive at this moment a few years ago, but that film certainly gave me a wonderful exposure to Valerie and Ron's archive, which just is startling, extensive, and so important because it documents our marine world, you know, back from the 50s up until years ago. And I was exposed to that archive and I could see the potential there. So once we'd finished the three-part series, some time lapsed and sadly we lost Ron. And then I was sitting in a cinema actually watching Jane, the Jane Goodall film, and it occurred to me that we had our own Jane Goodall right here living in the next suburb, and we hadn't done justice to the part that she'd played in understanding sharks and portraying the marine world, and it was about time that we did something about it.
Sally, when did you get involved? What was the story you wanted to tell?
Well, I have to say it's always interesting sitting here listening to Valerie say so matter-of-factly, you know, and if I was asked to jump in the middle of some sharks, well, I just did it. I have to tell you, Patricia, the footage and the adventures in this story are sort of hard to believe, except they're real and we've got them all on film. So it was an irresistible project. You know, we have a magnetic, beautiful, wise, adventurous central character. And then there's, you know, the sharks. So it was hard to say no, put it that way. It didn't even enter my mind to say no. I just knew that I wanted to sort of follow Valerie into the depths.
What was the story you wanted to tell? Because there's so many stories in Valerie's life. How did you find your thread?
Oh, that is a great question. With a lot of pain and difficulty, because you're right, there are so many aspects of Valerie's life and so many that we couldn't actually include. But I think the thing that was unique and remains remarkable is this extraordinary relationship that Valerie has had with the marine world, and in particular, these species of sharks that are so maligned and so misunderstood. So there was always this fascination between, you know, a very unlikely coupling, if you will, an odd couple, you know, Valerie and the sharks. So that probably was a bit of a lodestone for us. But it did mean that some things had to fall by the wayside, like, you know, the stories around teaching Mick Jagger how to scuba dive and things like that.
That's incredible. So, Valerie, back when you started this work, there wasn't a lot known about sharks. Do you remember what you expected at the time?
Actually, I don't remember what I expected. If I had believed the media, I'd have never got into the water. But remember, I was a Spiro and a good one. And in those days, there were a lot of sharks along the coast, far more than now. And if you spear a fish and you don't kill it straight off and it's fluttering and bleeding, that attracts sharks. So I learned to keep the shark away from my fish, unless it was a bronze whaler or a bull shark. They were very aggressive, and they took a lot of beating off. You'd poke them in the gills with your gun and yell at them and kick them if you could with your flipper, and it sort of put them off. No major predator expects its potential prey to fight back. So generally, the shark would leave me alone, feeling rather surprised. If I couldn't get rid of it, I gave it my fish. And I think most Spiros back in the 50s and 60s did that.
If you're just tuning in, this is Radio National Drive. You're in the drawing room, and my guests are Bettina Dalton, Valerie Taylor, and Sally Aitken. And we're talking about their film, Valerie Taylor Playing with Sharks. Sally and Bettina, given you were doing a documentary on someone who is part of the same industry, who knows the job and the work involved so closely, did that put a lot of pressure on you to get it perfect? Maybe you can start, Bettina.
It's not perfect.
That's what we're dealing with. It did put a lot of pressure on. Also, Valerie is a good friend, and when you have the responsibility of telling a story well, you're not going to walk away from this story. It's someone who you're going to see in an ongoing way. So there was a big, great deal of responsibility there. But Valerie has her own opinion, very strong opinion. And COVID actually meant that she couldn't spend as much time in the edit suite as she might have liked to.
Much to Sally's relief.
So Valerie has always been a storyteller, and together with Ron, they made a great team, because Ron was highly technical, was brilliant with his camera work, and that's evident throughout the film. And Valerie was a great storyteller. So she had her own way that she wanted to tell the story. But Sally had this wonderful objectivity and an overarching sense of the entire story, and also our audience and what would appeal to them, and how we could tell a story about how someone can change and how we can all change, and by changing the way that we see our natural world can bring about great results. And if one person like Valerie can do it, then, you know, we all can. So what would you think about that, Sal?
I think that the other sort of comment I would make is that I was very keen, I think we were all very keen, that it wasn't to be a, quote, conservation film. I was passionately interested in the adventure story of Valerie Taylor and in going on that journey, bringing people to the issues that Valerie has been so passionate about for all these decades. But also, as Tina says, you know, that witness of one's own personal transformation, and that in turn might be inspiring for people to watch. And so the fact that people have said, oh, it's not like a conservation film, is really thrilling. And I think we are in an age where we are looking so intensely for different ways of accessing stories around these really important issues, like the overfishing of our world's ocean and like the decimation of sharks. But we had a very different vehicle to tap into that story. And yes, Valerie was always forthcoming with any opinions on what should stay and what should go. And it's to her very great credit that the things that are very distressing, actually, to watch now, like the slaughter of fish, and she and Ron were lethal, you know, to watch that today is distressing, and it is to her credit as a storyteller, the recognition of that importance of seeing that trajectory on screen. So good on you, Valerie.
Sally, given Valerie and Ron's career, there must have been a lot of footage to work through. How did you begin to put it all together?
Yeah, a lot. There was so much. And also, you know, we had access to Valerie's diaries as well. So you have slide film, photographs, film footage, and handwritten diaries, all of which span about half a century. The volume was colossal. What's that old expression? How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time or something? You know, it was really a question of just starting to read and look and listen and absorb as much as possible. Actually, total immersion. So I began by reading the diaries. My editor, Adrian Rostriola, and I, we watched hours and hours and hours of footage and slowly just started to piece together the significant sequences. But we were always returning to the footage, looking for new things that actually at the time had not been shot to be used later on in a feature documentary. But, you know, lovely images that could be metaphoric, you know, or images that, you know, we're just around the margins. You know, Ron patting Valerie's hair, for example, is one of my favourite images because the film is ultimately a love letter, both to their relationship and their relationship with the marine world. So we were always returning to that vast trove of totally rich archive to keep fleshing out the story.
Mm. So Sally mentioned that there were a lot of stories that had to be left out of the movie, including Mick Jagger. I can't believe that got left out. But Valerie, it's not just sharks you've worked over the years. You've also swum around eels and all sorts of things. Tell me about that.
Some of my best underwater friends have been eels. They're very intelligent and they're nice guys. People don't see fish as what they really are. They're not just something next to chips on a plate. In a school, everyone has an individual personality. There's the shy guy, the bossy guy, the leader, the nasty one who bites you. And once you get to know all the different types that can be, it's just like a room full of puppy dogs. They're all different. And you become fascinated and interested and you join in. And I used to nearly always carry a bit of fish under my wetsuit. Just so if I met someone I really liked, I can give him a snack. And that's, once you do that, it's like giving a snack to a little puppy dog. It will hang around you. So I don't look at the marine animals as aliens in an alien world. I look at them the same as the average person would look at animals on land, the birds, and the cats, and the dogs, and the cows, and whatever, the lions and tigers, and they all are approachable if you do the approaching in the correct manner. A manner that doesn't put them on edge, frighten them, or make them aggressive. And I think spearfishing taught me a hell of a lot about the personalities of fish. And I use that for all my life working in the ocean, what I knew about the personalities, how to get around what could have been a very good subject for Ron's camera, getting that subject to perform in an interesting way. I'd love to be right out there right now. I'd love to be dropping through the surface and sinking down. Warm, clear water, and looking at this wonderful world that I haven't seen for so long. But it's not going to happen while this virus is around. I would like all the young children and middle-aged children and elderly children in Australia to have the experience of dropping down into an ocean full of wonderful fish, sharks, rays, jellyfish, and realising and seeing it's no different to sitting in your backyard with some bread and some seed and feeding the wildlife that might be there. The ocean is the most wonderful area you could imagine, and we treat it very harshly, and we're slowly destroying the quality of the water and the quantity of life. And we're not going to stop. I think we're going to just do it more and more.
So why don't we see fish, sharks and eels as they are? Is it because we're not comfortable in their habitat? Because lions are often beloved despite being large predators as well, Valerie.
You're right. It's because we're uncomfortable in their habitat. It's not ours. We choose to go into their habitat, an alien world, where we can't live underwater. We can only visit. But the big sharks, they're no different to the big cats in the jungle. I think more people get killed on the roads by the big cars than by big cats and big sharks put together. Hmm. It's a fact of life. We're not afraid of cars. We don't treat them like they're dangerous. They're going to get us, but we do that with not just wild animals in the ocean, but also on land. And basically, if you're calm, collected, and look at them and politely and behave yourself, they'll do the same thing. And you can have a rapport with a shark. I had a pet shark, her name was Nursie, and I could hang on to her fin and she'd drag me around the reef. And she was very, very close. She stayed around me all the time. For one thing, I used to give her snacks. Now, you know, you can do that with your dog and with your cat and with a lot of other land animals. Well, you can do it with marine animals too.
So Sally and Bettina, just finally to you before I bid you all farewell, have you followed Valerie into the water? Have you swum with sharks yourselves?
Well, we were very lucky on the shoot at the very end of the film where you see Valerie swimming with bull sharks. We managed to have that shoot just before COVID hit, and it was one of the most thrilling moments for me to be down there beside Valerie with these bull sharks swimming around. And the one bull shark that flicked Valerie across the face, most people would have completely freaked out, lost their regulator and shot to the surface. But Valerie had the biggest smile on her face and she was glowing there in a pink wetsuit and enjoying the presence of these bull sharks all around her. And to witness that was a great moment for me, because my journey with Valerie started when I was just a kid seeing Valerie on the front cover of the National Geographic magazine. And it's just been a beautiful journey for me to admire this person and then make a film about her, for her to become a friend, and then to dive with her and the bull sharks. So it's hugely gratifying and something I never imagined could happen. But that is a testament to Valerie's level of inspiration to other people. I'm not alone in having that, being inspired to learn to scuba dive and to swim with sharks. I mean, Ron and Valerie were my inspiration for that.
Sally Aitken, Bettina Dalton and Valerie Taylor have been my guests in the drawing room. Valerie Taylor, Playing with Sharks, is available on Disney Plus. And make sure you keep an eye on the ABC website and social media this week and over the coming months for the Know My Name hashtag as we celebrate some of the great female creative voices of Australia. That's it for the show tonight. I'm Patricia Carvelis. I'll be back on your radio tomorrow at 6 p.m. Catch you then.